Okay, now who doesn't know what that is? Of course you do. Everybody knows what that is. Do you ever wonder where it came from? Who wrote it? Who that band is? They call them the Champs for decades and decades. We're going to find out right now because our guest is Dave Burgess, member of the Champs, the guy that wrote that tune, recipient of the first ever 1958 Grammy for Tequila, the song. I drank so much tequila, I got a Grammy. Dave, thanks for joining us tonight here at WGN.
John, it's a pleasure for me to be with you. And, you know, I know about you. I know the things you've done, and you are a true legend. I should be calling you and interviewing you.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
That's a fact.
No, well, we have a mutual admiration society here, and I am so pleased to have you on. When I heard that the opportunity was available, I jumped at it. Because I've got some stories to tell you about the song Tequila, too, but I'll save that for later.
All right.
Because I want to get to the beginning of the story. There's so many things to get to, the artists that you discovered, what you're doing now. You've been signed to a new recording contract. But Tequila, this song, what happened? How did it get recorded? Where did it come from? And why the name Tequila? Tell me, Dave.
You remember Raunchy?
Oh,
I
by
know
Bill,
you do.
Bill Justice. Yeah.
I heard that record.
Yeah.
And I just absolutely loved it. And I thought to myself, I have to write something like that. So I did. I went home and I wrote something that I thought was close, but not a copy. It was called Train to Nowhere. I played it for my producer, and he said, heck, let's do that with you. And I said, but I don't have a band. And he said, that's okay. He says, we'll put a band together for you. I said, okay. So he took me out. Somebody had taken him to hear Danny Flores, who was a Hispanic saxophone guitar player, played in old strip shows and stuff like that all up and down the West Coast. And he said, he plays that kind of saxophone that you need on that. And I said, okay. So we went out and we heard him, and I asked him if he'd like to play on the record, and he said, heck yes. So we met at 6920 Sunset Boulevard. That was Gene Autry's building. And I had just signed a contract with Challenge Records, which was Gene Autry's label. And we rehearsed and got Train to Nowhere exactly the way we wanted it. So I called downstairs and I said, everybody needs to come up here and hear what we have. So they did. They said, that's perfect. We want to cut that as soon as possible and get it out. But we need a B-side. And I said, just give us a few minutes and we'll come up with something. So I started playing this guitar riff. And the bass player fell in with it, and the guitar player fell in with it, and Danny started playing this sax solo. And we thought, where did that come from? It was so great. And we said, that's it. Let's just do it like that. Then the guitar player said, we need a bridge. Let's put a bridge on it. And his name was Buddy Bruce, and he wrote this bridge, and I got the idea to stop at the end of the bridge and let Danny say Tequila because he had this whiskey voice. So we said, yeah, let's do that. When we get done cutting Train to Nowhere, we'll do it. So we called Gold Star Recording Studios, and Gold Star wasn't real big at that time. I think I don't believe they'd cut any other hits except the one that I'd cut there, I'm Available, with Margie Rayburn. So we went back to Gold Star, and we spent 2 hours and 55 minutes. Union allows you to record 4 songs in 3 hours. We spent almost the whole session on Train to Nowhere.
Yeah.
And my producer said, hey, we need that B-side. And I said, give us a minute. We did one take. I said, that's good enough. We did a couple of overdubs, put the voice on, and that was it. Released the record immediately. It was December 27th, 1957 is when it was released. They wanted it out for the first of the year. And actually, the record broke in Cleveland, and it went just like a bullet, number one. At that time, I think it was the fastest number one record ever, and spread around the world that way, and then the lawsuit started. Where did Danny Flores come up with that melody? Well, it was written by, I think it was Les Baxter, somebody like that. It was a movie theme. He played the thing in a movie, and Danny inadvertently heard it and didn't even remember, it just subconsciously came to him. So they changed Danny's name to Chuck Rio. And my manager got the brilliant idea while I was on the road. We, by the way, we were on the road almost immediately. And he got the idea to Chuck Reed will be the writer and take our names off because he said the lawsuits were going to be very expensive for each of us. And he said, you wrote the B-side, and it's your group, it's your band, so don't worry about it. Well, then he gave Danny Flores $3,000 and bought all the writer royalties. So none of us got a penny for writing the song.
Wow.
Typical.
I hear that. You know,
a lot of times in those days, as I know you know.
Yeah, and I've heard many a story, too, about iconic songs that have been in the air in the United States and have been huge hits for years and years and years that started out as B-sides, that started out as, okay, you know what, we need another tune, so let's just get together, whip this up, and bang, that's the hit. So, Tequila, now, is there any other specific reason why you yell Tequila at the end, or was it just the sound of this guy's voice? I mean,
it was my idea. I thought, you know, we should all say it at the end, not just Danny. So that's what we did, and of course, I didn't have a name for the band, so I named us after Gene Autry's horse, Champion. They didn't want us to use Champion because it was Marge and Gower Champion, who were big stars in those days.
Yeah, I remember that.
So we just cut it to the Champs, and then we became the Champs. Everybody thought at first that we were a college football team or something, and it took us a while to get people used to the idea that we weren't athletes, that we were a band, and of course rock music in those days. We had longer hair than most people did, and they thought we were going to ruin their children's future. Here we are.
And here we are. Dave Burgess from the Champs and Tequila and More when we come back on 720 WGN. Do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself about. You know, the Champs had recorded more than Tequila. That's one of them. That's one of the Champs recording. They actually did a version of the Hokey Pokey. A 720 WGN with John Landecker talking to Dave Burgess. Part of the Champs, part of the Tequila hit at 1955, 1958, whatever it was, you know, and Tequila is still, man, Dave, everybody knows that tune. And I want to get this story in before we get to the rest of your biography, which includes, oh my gosh, discovering artists, writing over 700 tunes, your new contract with, I believe it's Sony Music, and some of your new material. But I have to tell you this. At least I want to tell you this. I don't have to. So I had this band for a while in Chicago while I was doing a morning show on an oldies station. And every summer, for a while, for years, we'd go out and we'd play summer festivals in the Chicagoland area. And these were always free, and they were family events. And one of the things that I wanted to do was involve the audience. And I don't know where this idea came to me, but I would ask, I'd look into the audience and I'd find somebody who was very young. And when I say young, I mean 6, 7 years old. And I'd ask them to come up to the stage. And I say, okay, you're going to sing a song now, but you don't know the words yet. And the band would go into Tequila. And while tequila was playing, I would say to this kid, okay, when this song ends, you say Tequila. So the song ends, and this little voice goes, Tequila. And I go, wait a minute. And I come down to the kid, and I said, do you know what Tequila is? And I swear to you, 9 out of 10 times they'd say, no. I said, well, that's great, but let me ask you, what's your favorite food? And 9 out of 10 times they'd say, pizza. And I'd say, hit it. And the band would go through the entire Tequila tune again. And when we get to the end, the kid, me, and the entire crowd would yell, pizza. It was a, you know, thank God it wasn't like Chateaubriand or something. It was a very effective bit, and I thank you for that because couldn't have done it without Tequila.
It's such a blessing, John. It's beyond belief that even today, all these years later, when actually Tequila broke in 1958, little kids still know Tequila, older folks know Tequila. It's one of those iconic songs that you don't plan. It just happens, and it's a blessing. And I'm so grateful for all these years and all the fans, and I'm so thankful to people like you that have played it through the years. That's what's important. That's what gave us the chance to have Tequila in the first place.
I have no idea how many times I've played it, but
I'll bet. Mike, thank you so much for that. That's sure. Really nice to hear. And as far as what's going on now, through the since 1976, I've been managing Hank Williams Jr.'s publishing companies, all through all those big hits and everything, and that's a long time to work for one person. And that shows you that's this man, what he really is, a very loyal and good person. And it's been a pleasure to be with him. And I've written songs all this time. Prior to that, I'd written a lot of songs, 10 songs for Rick Nelson, 7 for Hank Snow, 13 for Eddie Arnold. I've written songs for almost every traditional country act that there's ever been. And I'm so happy that I got that chance, because writing songs is something that's first and foremost my most precious thing. That is a blessing as well, and I'm so thankful that I've been able to have success at it. Well, living here in Nashville, Tennessee, I met a gentleman that became my dear, dear friend. His name is Joe Dark. And Joe said to me one day, "Aren't you writing anymore?" And I said, "Yeah, I am. I have some songs." I said, "I've just been working on Hank Jr., and I let mine kind of go." He said, "Well, let me hear what you've got." So I played some things for him. He said, "My gosh, Dave, those are great songs. Let's go do some demos." So we did. I was happy with the way they came out, and I said, "Let's call Sony. They have all my masters. They have most of my song catalog, and let's let them hear it and just see what they think." So we made an appointment, and everybody was there, all the executives. I can't think of anybody that I would have wanted there that wasn't there. And they picked my brains, and we talked about Tequila, just like you and I are doing right now.
Right.
And then they said, "Well, let's hear what you're doing." So I played the stuff for them, and they loved it. And they said, "What about those songs?" And I said, "Well, we own the publishing." He said, "Well, how can we get involved with you?" And I said, "Well, you can administrate." They said, "Okay, let's work a deal on that." And I said, "Fine." And they said, "What are you going to do with those songs?" I said, "Well, we have a little record company that we're just starting. We need distribution." They said, "Well, how about working a deal on that?" So over a period of the next few weeks, we worked out the publishing with the administration. We worked out the distribution of our record company. And we just released our first album a couple of months ago. And it's doing really well.
And what's the single from that album?
The single is called Light It Up.
Hold on a second. You're coming. No, not that. Not that. No, that's later. Light it up. Light it up. Come on, light it up. Why don't you light it up? Light it up. License to play music. We can play clips. We can play up to a minute of something. But I've been listening to the album. You sound great. The musician sounds great. Continued success to you. The name of the album. What's the name of the album? Did you mention that?
Light it up.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you so much. It's been great talking with you.
Oh, great talking to you, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dave, you bet. Dave Burgess. Well, I guess we didn't get into it. He was recipient of the first ever 1958 Grammy for Tequila. And you heard him tell the story of how Tequila, the tune, came to be.